This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We're going to cross over live to Washington, D.C., where our American correspondent, Harley Dennett, is waiting to talk to us. Good morning, Harley, or good evening to you, I guess.
Good evening, Doug.
Now, don't ask, don't tell. Is it all over at last? Are we going to finally see this damn thing repealed?
Complex question. We've got a vote coming up, and it's the first vote in 17 years, realistically. But even if it passes, it may not actually disappear all at once because of a new compromise that's been proposed by the White House. And it means that the military gets a bit of what it wants and the gay community gets a little bit of what it wants, but nobody gets what they actually wanted.
Ain't that usually the way of things? So is this really going to be anything more than window dressing then?
According to the gay and lesbian activists who've been campaigning on this for probably the loudest, the ones who kept getting themselves arrested in front of the White House over these last couple of months, it is just window dressing. To them, they think that this compromise misses the issue because Congress will repeal the law banning gay soldiers, but the policy will remain in place until the Pentagon can finish its controversial study in how straight soldiers will react to these gay soldiers being openly gay. But there won't be any non-discrimination policy to prevent the military from taking its own action against gay soldiers. It'll be...
So the policy... Now, wait a minute. I thought this policy had been sort of suspended while all this was worked out. Is that not the case?
Unfortunately not. They are still discharging people if they announce that they're gay, but they don't. Which is problematic because people are still doing it. We're still announcing that they're gay, even though there's no protections in place yet.
So,
including last night on primetime television. People have this expectation that it's all over now and it hasn't quite reached that point.
Mm-hmm.
Although you would forgive them for thinking so because with the amount of media attention this story has gotten lately, including today's development, that finally, I guess what's known as the 15th senator in the Armed Services Committee has said that he will vote for this compromise.
Mm-hmm.
15 is the magic number because that means it will now pass that committee. It will be added to the must-pass defence authorisation bill. This is one of those bills that no one can afford to be on record voting against because it would show that you don't support the troops. So if an amendment, this compromise, goes through, it would be an amendment to that bill. It would have to pass. But 15 senators on committee is the magic number there, and they have to do the same in the House of Representatives as well. That's looking increasingly likely now that they will get those numbers. Skeptical at first, considering how damaging this campaign has been, but increasing, and particularly when the Pentagon has not been clear that they supported the repeal. Remember when I came on ages ago, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mike Mullen, gave groundbreaking testimony in support of gay and lesbian troops that were serving under him.
Yes, we saw that replayed on television here, I think last night, where he said, you know, that was the right thing to do and so forth.
And since then, every person, you know, he himself has contradicted himself on that by writing letters to lawmakers saying don't repeal, now's not the right time. The same with Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. He's been telling lawmakers that yes, he supports repeal in principle, and that's why they gave that incredible testimony before that Senate committee. But now, don't do it now, because that would show the troops that they are surveying at the moment that their views don't count.
But, I mean, if not now, when? This thing has been dragging on for I don't know how long, and isn't this just standard delaying tactics?
That's hard to tell, because the people who are most opposed to it, like the far right religious groups that would oppose any step, are only objecting to the current step that's being taken. They're saying leave it all in the military's hands.
But and that's what this compromise it does in effect, though, doesn't it? It just says, we'll sort of say this law is repealed, but you don't have to actually put it into practice until you're happy to do so.
Yes. So now we've got a picture about why gay and lesbian activists, in particular, like the ones we've spoken about before, like Lieutenant Dan Troy, are really upset about this compromise, because it places all the responsibility and the decision-making power away from lawmakers and puts it back into the hands of the military, who don't really have a good track record in America of supporting and treating gay and lesbian soldiers very well.
But I mean, this is a non-issue in dozens of other countries around the world, including Australia. I mean, it's been done over and over again without any particular problems. Why are the US still dragging their heels here?
That's a really good question. A group of these countries came together last week to give a presentation, a forum, on what issues that they might face, and Australia was represented in there by a lieutenant colonel, so a fairly senior person in the Australian Defence Force. They all said it was a non-issue. However, they stressed that you can't just remove the gay ban; you have to also add diversity training, non-discrimination policies, and protections—the kinds of things that we would see anywhere else in the workplace, as the GLBT community would expect to see anywhere else in the workplace—you have to include that in the military, or otherwise you're going to have some of those problems. And some countries went a little bit further than others, and Australia was a bit tentative about how far it wanted to go diplomatically. But that message has not gotten through at all. Lawmakers do not care what other countries have done, because
this is like, America.
Exactly. America is, they believe in American exceptionalism. And that means that what happens in other countries does not necessarily apply here. Also, you have to remember that the amount of chaplaincy, the amount of conservative Christian sort of quite religiously conservative population in the US military is incredibly high, much higher than any other country in the world. And I think they're a little bit scared that people will be less likely to join the military. I think that's unfounded, but it's a fear that some people legitimately have.
Well, I mean, there seems to be a fair amount of reluctance to join the military anyway, doesn't it? Now, they're having recruitment difficulties in any case, mainly because unlike in the past, where it was seen as a route to getting a cheap education and a pension, it's now you actually have to go out and get shot at.
Yes, it's an odd way to get free healthcare coverage, I have to say. But the thing is, for many young Americans, that's sort of where their mind drifts, and that's how they do see it. It's very odd for us, I'll admit that. I travel to military bases around America now, kind of what I do, and I've never, it's really a non-issue for the officers that I speak to. We're really talking about sort of enlisting the infantry kind of troops that they're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge number of people to do diversity training on, and if every other country is telling America you have to do diversity training, there are 2 million people in the US military and reserves. Oh, National Guard. That's a hell of a lot of people to have to.
I think they have a higher percentage of people in uniform in one form or another, whether it's the military, the Coast Guard, whatever else, than any other country in the world.
And yeah, I think that you're looking at, you know, China and maybe Indonesia might be giving them a run for their money, but the US is definitely out in front on that one.
Now, it's also interesting that you say, you mentioned about this forum where other countries that have repealed their version of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they allow people to serve openly. You said that other countries were much more explicit in their criticism of the Americans, including Britain, the Netherlands and Sweden, who said that some of their officers don't want to work with the American military because of this, of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
I got a bit excited when I heard about that, because now they're talking about foreign military couples in the United States, and full disclosure, I'm one of them. And when we were given the opportunity to come across, we ummed and ahed. What will it be like to serve under Don't Ask, Don't Tell? And the belief was that, well, foreign nationals shouldn't be affected by it. Mm-hmm. So when we had Sweden in particular say that they would not send people over, and when we had Britain, the representative from Britain say they would be very reluctant to advise people to come across, and I know that gay and lesbian people from these countries had served in Afghanistan. Mm. I think what we're seeing here is that these countries really want to stick up for their own members. They don't want to put them in harm's way, and they see harm not only as being shot at unnecessarily, they also see it as being exposed to intolerance. And increasingly America's reputation around the world is being seen as one that just does not deal well with other countries. This was particularly, like, they made this point in written form again yesterday, these three countries, Britain, Netherlands and Sweden, in an open letter to the opinion pages in the United States, that they didn't that this policy is harming U.S. relations with other militaries. And I know that in Australia we've had generals from the United States privately advise Australian generals it's probably best not to send gay people across at this point in time. These are sort of on the golf course kind of conversations. They're not on the record.
But I mean, you haven't had any problems, have you? I mean, your husband's in the RAAF, right?
Yeah.
And you've been travelling around various military bases with your partner, presumably.
Yes.
You're not finding any kind of a problem.
I'm not finding homophobia. What I'm finding is institutionalised barriers that many people don't really know why they exist in the first place. They just know that they do exist, and they feel like they have to uphold them because that's what the law tells them to do. No one particularly understands why these policies are in place, and that goes for the men and women in uniform, and it also goes for people in Congress. No one particularly knows why they're continuing to uphold this. They just feel that they have to because that's the way it's been for the last 17 years.
And are they kind of nervous about going any further than this somewhat half-assed compromise, I have to say, at this point in time, because there are elections coming up?
Yes, elections are in November, and one of the things that I've been finding is that they're losing some of the Republican support they would have otherwise had. There are numerous Republicans who genuinely believe that gay and lesbian soldiers being able to serve openly is in the best interest of the country.
But not around election time.
Around election time becomes problematic because that's seen as very much a Democratic issue. Now, we can sort of tear our hair out that how could something like that be so partisan? Everything becomes partisan around election time here, and elections are a little bit longer in America than they are in Australia.
They never seem to stop.
Yeah. We've been in election mode since at least April. That's when I started seeing election ads for an election that will be happening in November. And this happens every 2 years. It's almost constant.
Yeah.
Some Republicans have specifically pulled away from support at this time, even those that are in, like the newly elected Senator Scott Brown in Massachusetts, who you would expect to be a lot more supportive of this because 80%, or more than 80%, sorry, Massachusetts, of his constituency support the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But because he has to keep the Republican brand image, he has to say no at this point. And it baffles belief, any kind of common sense, that the politics could reign in an arena like this. There are only, as far as I know, there are only a handful of Republicans still on board with this, and that may be just enough for them to get across the line.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, it's just a ridiculous situation. Harley, thank you for joining us this morning, or this evening in your time. Look forward to hearing some better news about this somewhere down the track when they eventually get round to doing the job properly, I think. This is not going to help Obama's stocks with the gay community at all, I suspect.
And
that, of course, is a pity because apparently our community is one of his best fundraisers. But that's another story, and we'll have to look at that another time. Harley, thanks for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure, Doug.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.